Welcome to Media Business. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Tony Conley. Thanks so much for tuning in. From time to time, we like to talk with James David Dixon from Capcom. They are Michigan's watchdog, if you will. We learned so much when we talked to James, who's the managing editor of Michigan Capital Confidential. James, how are you, sir?
Excellent. Hey, Tony, thanks for having me on. Good seeing you.
Hey, before we start talking about some specific stories, the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to attend some political events on both sides of the aisle, as well as have some conversations with media folks from all over the state of Michigan, including the editor of one of Detroit's newspapers. And I just wanted to get your take on the questions that I've been asking them. And that is, where are you at when it comes to covering the news? And I would think the folks that I've talked to believe that the Michigan Capital Confidential, that the Mackinac Center for Public Policy is somewhat of a conservative group. Maybe some say Republican leaning. I know a little bit better than that, but I just want to get your take. Do you feel...
We typically say free market.
Well, I want you to address that because I've heard it called other things recently. I want you to address that. Do you feel safe and comfortable expressing your views and expressing what you see?
Absolutely, yeah. So we go by free market. Personally, I'm conservative. I would add that label as well. But there's all kinds of people. You know, some are libertarian. Some focus just on, you know, market, you know, things like that. But another common thread, I would say, is limited government. And so if you're going to have the government do something, maybe build a road. Maybe have kids actually be educated by the school system. Maybe not do social and emotional learning. Maybe not take on some of these side projects. Like, no one wants to do their actual job. Everyone wants to do the job to someone on the left of them. You know, so teachers want to be counselors and, you know, counselors want to be policymakers. Let's just everyone just do their job and have a government that does a limited amount of things as opposed to a lot of things badly and spends a lot of our money poorly.
The reason I've been having these conversations is, as someone who coached freshman basketball in the city of Lansing, and I'm just so frustrated with the constant conversation of diversity, of what color are you, of where you come from, of if you're a Republican or if you're conservative, you're against people of color, which I kind of am a person of color being mixed race. And so I find that very interesting. It seems like so many places I go, that's what's talked about instead of the issues. I work with a lot of kids who, you know, got it rough at home, aren't eating well, aren't learning well, have behavioral issues. And we keep talking about who's not doing what instead of handling their business from, you know, and I just want to get your take on what you think, especially the constant need to label.
Yeah. And you talked about, you know, do I feel safe? I mean, as opposed to what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is everything in life entails risk. And the bottom line is we're critical of powerful people. So, but to me, their overreaction only adds to your credibility. So if and when they overreact, that would be a mistake because that proves the ultimate truth of your point and the value of what you're saying. I mean, you go back to biblical times. Where the persecution goes and where the trouble goes, it's typically because that's where the truth is. You know, so to have those kind of problems would be a blessing because it would mean that you're telling so much truth that people have to get out of their character to try to stop you, but they still can't stop you.
In relation to security for the state of Michigan, what have you heard? What have you seen? What are your thoughts on our borders? There's so much talk on the southern border. Is it affecting Michigan from your perspective?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have this whole Office of Global Michigan set up to take in refugees, you know, and the government decides who's considered a refugee. You know what I mean? So, like, you have a lot of resources, a lot of assistance that's available to people who did not choose to live in this country through legal means. Meanwhile, I think a lot of people in Michigan would say they're struggling to continue to buy groceries, you know, to buy gas. Life is hard and it keeps getting harder. I think about last week, a committee in the Senate held hearings to actually make, you know, if you're an esthetician, now you'd have to get 750 hours of training. And, you know, hairstylists would have to get like, you know, 500. You know, the estheticians are almost twice as much training. Some people are having 100 more hours added of training. So to the extent policymakers get involved in our livelihood, it's to make those livelihoods more difficult to earn, not less difficult. So when government gets involved, they get in the way. I'm always very wary of any time you're asking the government for help. All I ask them to do is get out of the way.
So when we come back, we'll talk with James David Dixon a little bit more about the House and the Senate. I want to ask him about some particular bills. We'll do that next here on Media Business on the Michigan Business Network.
Managing your office supplies is key to a seamlessly functioning business. With over 90,000 items available for free next day delivery, DBI can solve all your office supplies needs at the very best value. Visit dbis.com.
Welcome back to Media Business. I'm Tony Connolly. This is the Michigan Business Network. We're talking with the managing editor of Michigan Capital Confidential, James David Dixon. And James, before I talk about specifics, do you think there is a push in the House and in the Senate to regulate more what the Michigan citizens do and how we work and how we live?
Always. That's what they spend their time doing. And so whether it is to, you know, there's a bill right now that if you, you know, say you take care of your mother or your brother who got into a car accident or, you know, they're sick and you take care of them and get paid for it, there's bills that would actually help a union sign you up as a member without your consent. You'd have to ask the union to get out. And in the meantime, they would skim dues off your paycheck. If I could sum up the 102nd legislature, the one we're in right now, the second year of it, glaringly little of what they do is about improving life for 10 million people in Michigan. What you see instead are things like dues skim. There was another bill that would make union dues tax refundable. You know, you'd have people, you know, the state cutting big checks to union members who would then write checks to Democratic politicians. You have so many things that are being done as favors and giveaways. The Senate just did a bill last week, or no, earlier this week, where it would have $1.6 billion through 2038 in tax capture. So a company like Ford Motor Company would say, all right, if I hire these 900 people, all the tax money that we would collect from these people and send to the state government, Ford gets to keep. So Ford gets paid essentially for putting these people on the payroll, and politicians get headlines that say, hey, Ford created 900 jobs. So our state is being run for the few any way you look at it.
Do you think the folks that voted all these people in realized this was going to happen and is happening?
I think what dominated the airwaves, you know, think about how many abortion commercials you saw and how much oxygen that took up. So, you know, we talk about the okey-doke. You might vote for one thing, or your emotions might be inflamed by one thing. But when people get that power, then they run roughshod with it. They act like they were given a mandate to upturn the entire state upside down. We talk about the Public Service Commission, appointees of the governor, getting lawmakers to say, hey, these appointees should be able to override local communities when it comes to wind and solar zoning statewide. So at every turn, Lansing's being made more powerful, and the 10 million people and their local communities are being made less powerful.
James, EVs have been in the news quite a bit from the aspect of they're not selling, people are not buying them. And I find that fascinating how much our state is a Democratic state and supports Joe Biden, if you will, when he's the one that's pushing the EV message. And there's been discussion how this was going to create jobs. That's not happening. And the union continues to support him in that EV way. Talk a little bit about that. It just seems like an oxymoron, if you will.
It is. There's this massive disconnect already between the union and its members, especially the UAW. So, you know, I think something like 40% of UAW members voted for Donald Trump, the Republican, last election. It could be even more this time around. Meanwhile, UAW President Sean Fain, he got Biden to come out to a picket line. He's joined himself and his union at the hip to the president. And so he can deliver political clout and they can do that for each other, but he can't necessarily deliver voters. But the UAW is also a rich organization. Another union, the Service Employees International Union, announced plans to spend $200 million to reelect President Biden. Wow. So these unions, even if what's being done is bad for their membership, the union leaders are being taken care of no matter what. So you'll sign on ultimately to an EV transition that even if Michigan got every single auto job and they all made EVs, that would still be one-third fewer jobs.
When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about your story, Higher Michigan Fund would create annual uncertainty in the general fund as the Michigan Senate approved this $1.6 billion in tax capture. We'll talk about that story next here on Media Business on the Michigan Business Network.
When you fly Lansing, you are just one stop away from over 500 amazing global destinations. The Capital Region International Airport, your gateway to the world. Visit flylansing.com for more information.
Welcome back to Media Business. I'm Tony Connolly. We're talking with James David Dixon. James, what is the Higher Michigan Fund? Talk a little bit about that and why it's so important.
Yeah, so under the Snyder years, there was something, it was like the Good Jobs for Michigan Fund. The Whitmer version, it's like a zombie. These bad ideas keep resurfacing because ultimately, Tony, it doesn't matter whether Democrats or Republicans run Lansing. Lansing has a culture all its own to the benefit of the 148 lawmakers and the governor and lieutenant. So this fund, basically, it would allow the state to give $125 million at last count, at last amendment, per year in tax capture deals. So they could say Stellantis, all right, we'll give you a $90 million deal for tax capture, say over, you know, X amount of years, where until, you know, you've collected that $90 million in taxes, you know, it doesn't kick in again. That those employees, that their tax money would go to the state. And so that's actually the deal I was just talking about, where what this fund does is it creates headlines for politicians and it gives money to companies that they don't need for projects that they probably would do anyway. I think about last year, there was a deal in Orion Township, a GM, you know, factory expansion there for EV jobs. And CEO Mary Barra of GM, she actually said in a press release, this expansion could not have happened but for state funds. Now, come on. GM's one of the biggest companies on earth. If they want to build a factory in Orion Township, they're going to build a factory. To make it seem like government money played a causal role in that elevates the governor, elevates Mary Barra, and it becomes a symbiotic relationship of big business and big government washing each other's backs, and all of it having very little to do with us 10 million people.
James, I want to talk a little bit about the Office of the Auditor General. What does that office do, and why does the governor want to cut so much money from their budget?
Yeah, so the Office of the Auditor General, when funds come in, especially federal funds, to the state of Michigan, someone has to look at that money and say, to ensure that it's going where they said it would go, and that those programs are doing what they said they would do, and that they're doing it in a legal way and all. I mean, it is extremely thorough work. It's kind of like, imagine news reporting with a badge. Like if accountants were news reporters and they had the right to actually demand answers of the people they're talking to. So the Auditor General makes sure that Michigan's story is straight with its billions in financials that come in, because some pretty serious hurdles to clear. So they basically keep us liability free on that front, because you don't want to run afoul with federal dollars. And so Governor Whitmer, she wants to cut about a third, almost a third of their budget. And the auditor, Doug Ringler, he's warned, if these cuts were to happen and it affects our ability to do these audits that are federally required, it could put Michigan in jeopardy of not getting those monies. The takeaway I would have people understand is this. In 2023, January 2023, Michigan started the year with a $9 billion surplus. Why on earth are we talking about cutting $8 million from the Auditor General? How did we fall so far so fast? And doesn't that indicate something about the quality and the decisions, perhaps even the character of the people who run the state? So you burn through $9 billion and then you want to defund the watchdog, the financial watchdog? What message does that send?
Do you think people care about that?
Absolutely. I mean, every newspaper in the state has covered it. You know, because here's the thing. It was the Auditor General that confirmed some of the reporting that was out there about the nursing home deaths and the undercounts. And It's the auditor that showed how much fraud we had in Michigan during COVID, where you had, you know, something like what, $245 million that was sent to people who were dead or in jail or flat out ineligible for the money. Meanwhile, other people needed that money and didn't get access to it. So the auditor plays a societally important role. Almost every business gets audited, you know, has their own audit system, because no one wants to run afoul of the feds. So to see this kind of brazen attitude indicates one of two things. One, it's actual recklessness, or B, given the Whitmer team and their close ties to Biden and the administration, maybe you know you have nothing to fear federally.
James, what are you folks at Capcom, what are you going to be watching for the next 2 or 3 weeks? What story should we be looking for?
I'd say the biggest one is the homeschool registry attempts, you know, whether through a back door or whether through a front door, to create an actual list of every homeschool student and every homeschool in Michigan. And what I need people to get about that is the state superintendent, Michael Rice, he has cited public safety. We don't know if the kids are safe. And he cited, we don't know if the kids are being educated. What I would ask everyone to consider is, how would a name on a sheet of paper address either concern? And since it would not, you have to understand that nothing would end at a registry. That's just the foot in the door. So there's a lack of honesty about what's being done and why they want to do it and where it's ultimately likely to result, which is in regulations much more severe. So they're not willing to say that. And I'd ask people to consider, why might that be? Why can't the state superintendent speak with his chest out and say exactly what he means?
It's quite evident that the education system is failing, especially in urban areas. Not everywhere, but in those urban areas. When are we going to address that? It seems to be overlooked. We want to keep pumping more money into it, but it's not getting better. Our kids are way behind because of COVID. There doesn't seem to be a lot of discussion of not only getting us caught up, but making it equal footing. And James, it goes beyond, it seems, money to me. It seems like there's a lack of leadership in getting us to where we need to be.
Money almost seems beside the point by now. These schools have had so much money thrown at them, including during COVID. No one can claim poverty at this point. They can claim bad decisions, which again makes me question why you're our educators if you're making bad decisions. But our schools are not poor. They make bad decisions. Ann Arbor Public Schools, $25 million deficit. Why have you hired 480 employees at a time when you lost almost 1,200 kids? You're running a school district to the benefit of your government employees, not for the needs of the people in that community.
James David Dixon is with Capcom. I would suggest that you read that if you want to get a take on what's going on in our state, especially with our tax dollars. James, as always, I appreciate you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm Tony Connolly. This is Media Business on the Michigan Business Network. We'll see you next time.